Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to Romans 5. That's going to be one of our main scriptures that we look at. Today we're continuing our series titled, What We Value. If you've been with us the last few weeks, I share that it was just over 3 years ago that Stacy and I started on this journey of beginning to plant this church. And I mentioned that one of the first things that we had to do was come up with our core values. What would the core values be of our church? And it was a process that was a lot harder than I expected it to be. But after many hours of prayer and chiseling down the original list, that was the hardest thing. The list was so huge, but we learned that, you know, if you value everything, you value nothing. And so what are the things that we really value? And after chiseling down the list, we ended up with six values. Six values that we believe God gave for us, for Dallas Foursquare Church. Now, some of you may know what they are as you see them on the screen, but some of you may not, and that's why we're taking time each week to look at them, because you may see them, but you may go, well, what does that really mean? How do we value that? And so we're taking time each week to look at those, because I think it's important that not just myself, not just people in leadership, but that all of us, especially if we call this our church home, that we know what our core values are, because everything we do, the decisions that we make, are based off these core values. And so we started off a couple weeks ago with our first core value, God's Word. And we talked about the importance of God's Word. And then last week we talked about worship and the importance of worshiping God with our lives and delighting in that worship with Him. And this morning we're going to continue as we talk about obedience, right? That favorite word of ours that we love to hear. It started when we were young, right? We love that word obedience. Obey your parents. It's one of our favorite words, right? Oh, I'm the only weird one here. I was always obedient as a child. Ask my mom. Or no, don't ask my mom. She'll tell you the truth. Well, we're gonna start off this morning reading our text. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. But let me tell you this. I'm not gonna read from this Bible this morning. This is my NIV. I'm going to read from New Living Translation this morning, and just because I like the way that it's worded and to understand it just a little better. It says the same thing, but just in a little bit more practical language. And so let me just share with you. So it's Romans 5, verses 12 through 19. And this is what it says. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died, from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Verse 17, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Verse 19, because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteousness. Jesus is the one who walked in obedience, and because of him we're made righteous. Now, obedience is a powerful thing. And it's important that we learn to value obedience, because it's the difference between life and death. The reality is, as we read in the scripture, obedience is what gave us life, and it's what continues to give us life. And the opposite is true of disobedience. Disobedience is what brought death into this world and continues to bring death. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, death is not a subject that too many of us like to talk about, right? But the fact is, unless the Lord comes back in our time, not to burst your bubble here this morning, but we're all going to die. It's going to happen. We're all going to die at some time in our life. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter your social status. Any idea what the death rate in America is compared to the death rate in Afghanistan or Iraq or even maybe remote areas of Africa? It's the same, exactly. It's exactly the same, 100% death rate. Whether you live in America, whether you live in Afghanistan, sooner or later, you're going to die. We're all going to die. And I think it's one of the reasons people don't like to talk about it. Because it can be scary, this fear of the unknown. What does that mean? What this death that we talk about, what happens when we die? Is there really a heaven? Is there really, the more scary thing, is there really a hell, right? Or is it like in the movies, you know, we see these stories, well, after you die, you float around, right? Going and haunting people or whatever it may be. Or you get reincarnated as a cat or a tree or a slug or something, right? I think I'll be a praying mantis, but some of you caught that. Like I shared a few weeks ago when we talked about God's Word, there are all kinds of ideas out there, right? All kinds of ideas, especially on this thing of death. What happens when we die? All kinds of ideas that are put into our head, and that's why it's so important that we go to God's Word for the answers. If we believe God's Word is true, then we don't have to fear this thing called death. God's Word tells us about the realities of death. And yes, some of those realities can be scary if we don't know the whole story, if we don't know the truth. In verse 12, it says that Adam's sin brought death. Adam's sin brought death. Adam failed to what? To obey. Right? He failed to obey God, and when that happened, sin came into this world, and that sin brought death for all of mankind. It brought death for everyone. His sin affected everyone. Now, here's the thing. That's hard for people to understand and believe. I didn't do it. I didn't sin. I wasn't the one that sinned. How come I'm affected by it? It's hard for us to understand or even believe. But imagine this. Let's bring it into modern day situation. Imagine you're having a big get-together with your friends and family in your home, okay? Big gathering, you're all in this room, you're partying it up, having just a great time, enjoying one another's company. And you're there, the host, and you receive this package, right? And on the package it says, anthrax, do not open. Now you think, come on, this is a joke, really? No one would send a box and actually say that anthrax is on it. It can't be that bad. Come on, really? Isn't that kind of what Adam and Eve did, right? Oh, really? God didn't mean don't eat of this tree. God didn't really mean that. And we think, oh, come on, really? Is that what it is? And you think it's a joke, and so you decide to open it anyway. And so you start to struggle with it, and you, boom, it pops open. And anthrax bursts into the air everywhere. And all of your family, all of your friends inhale it and end up dying. Now, whose fault is it that they all died? It's yours, right? It's a perfect example of what happened with Adam. What happened with Adam and Eve when they sinned. Thousands of years ago, it was as if they opened this package that they shouldn't have. And they really did open something that they shouldn't have. They'd done something that they shouldn't have done. When they disobeyed, sin entered the world and it affected everybody and everything. That's why the world, we go through the struggles and all that happens. It's because sin is in this world. The can of worms has been opened and it affects everybody. Billions and billions of people have been affected by that one moment in the Garden of Eden, from that one act of disobedience. From that one moment, people were born into sin and the realities of sin. But here's the thing. If we read the scriptures, we realize that death, this physical death, is actually the least of our problems. Verse 18 tells us, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. We don't like to read that part, right? It brings condemnation for everyone. When Adam sinned, he not only brought sin and physical death in the world, he brought condemnation. What happens after a person dies now? We're told here they face condemnation. Condemnation, you know what that is? That's complete separation from God, which is ultimately a perfect definition of hell. A perfect definition of hell is separation, complete, utter separation from God. Now, a lot of people hear that and say, well, what's so big about that? I haven't needed God in my life. I'm just fine. I don't think we understand what this world would be like if God wasn't here. Even though we don't maybe seek God all the time, we don't understand the fact that His presence is everywhere. And if God pulled His presence out of this earth, you think about anything that's good in this world, love, joy, happiness, peace, that all comes from God. Those are the things of God. If that's pulled out of this world, if that's pulled out of our lives, think of the opposite, despair, hurt, pain, sorrow. That's life without God. And this can be a scary thing. And this is why many people don't like to talk about it, right? But it doesn't have to be scary if we believe in God's Word. Because God's Word tells us that there is an answer to this condemnation. And the answer is Jesus Christ, right? You see, God is not some faraway God that doesn't care. A lot of times that's how we view God. This faraway God that doesn't really care. But we serve a God that cares. He cared so much about this death problem that He came up with a solution for it. He does care. If God didn't care about us, if He didn't care, He would have just said, gone with you a long time ago, all right? But He cares about us, and so He came up with this solution for this thing of condemnation. And we see it in verse 19. It says this, because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. Right? And if we stop there, that's a horrible story. This stinks. There's nothing to be excited about. But if we continue to read, it says, because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteousness, or many will be made righteous. God is the answer. He provided a way for us to not experience the condemnation that comes from sin and death. He did what Adam and Eve couldn't do. He did what we failed to do our whole lives. He resisted temptation. And as our Savior, He took upon Himself all of our sins and the sins of this entire world. That condemnation I mentioned earlier, that's what Jesus took on when He went to the cross. Instead of us being condemned for our sins after we die, Jesus was condemned instead. There's a movie that came out years ago, I don't remember when it came out, called The Last Emperor. And in this movie, there's a young child that's anointed as the last emperor of China. And he lives a life of luxury with 1,000 servants at his command. Now in the movie, his brother asks him, what happens when you do wrong? The boy says, well, when I do wrong, someone else is punished. And then he demonstrates. He breaks a jar. And for breaking that jar, one of his servants gets beaten. Okay? What a lovely picture, right? But here's the great thing. In Christianity, as Christians, Jesus reverses that. He reverses it. When we, his servants, right? When we make a mistake, he, the king, has already took our punishment for it. Instead of us being condemned eternally for our sin, Jesus was condemned instead. And he overcame that condemnation so that we could have life. Jesus' obedience. Obedience here. Jesus' obedience has brought us life. And it's one of the reasons why we value obedience. Because without it, without Christ's obedience, we would not be here. We wouldn't have the opportunity to experience the life that God has for us. And the thing we have to realize is that Jesus' obedience is now an example for us. We're called now to live a life of obedience. And we can do it through his righteousness. Yes, we may fail, we may struggle, but we can experience his grace, pick ourselves up, and continue to walk in obedience. We're called to live a life of obedience. And the problem is, many of us fail to see, as we look at Jesus and we look at his obedience, I think a lot of times we fail to see the depth of Jesus' obedience. Here's what I mean. I think a lot of times we get caught up in this assumption that living a life without sin and saying no to the temptations of this world, we get caught up in this assumption that it was easy for Jesus. Well, he was God. Come on. It was easy for him. If I was God, I could do that, right? I mean, we get caught up and think that, well, it must have just been easier for him because he was God. But we have to realize that even though he was God, he was also fully man. He was fully human. His struggles were real. His pain was real. The struggles and pain that he went through are no different than the struggles and pain that we go through here on this earth. Matthew 26:39 shows us a little bit of the humanity of Christ. It's the day before he's to be crucified, the evening. It's about that time. It's close to the time that he's about to be turned over to be crucified. And he's up late, right? Praying with his disciples, or at least he's praying. His disciples have fallen asleep on him, right? And he's struggling, and he's praying about what's about to happen. And he prays this prayer. He says, "My Father," he's speaking to God, "if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me." And if you remember in the scripture, I mean, he's sweating blood. That's the pain and the struggle that he's going through because he realizes, he knows he has to be obedient. But he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to experience what he's about to experience. And he's asking God, is there any other way? Because like us, if we knew we had to go through that, how many of us would be like, God, please, is there any other way? When I realized that we were going to plant a church, okay? My idea was that, okay, I'm going to become a senior pastor and I'll just take over this nice, wonderful church. And all of a sudden it was, you're going to plant a church. And I'm literally crying out, God, is there any other way, you know? Is there any other way? And this is Jesus in this moment. He's going through this. I don't want to do this. But he finishes his prayer by saying this. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Saying, not my will, God. My will would walk away right now. I don't want to go through the pain and the difficulty, but your will. I will walk in the obedience that you've called me. He knows that it's his obedience that will open the door for everyone once again to be able to walk in righteousness. It's His obedience that will undo the disobedience of Adam and Eve thousands of years before. He was real. The same struggles, but He pushed through and walks in obedience. And He gave us an example to live by. Not our will, but God's will. And He desires that we too will choose to walk in obedience. That we too will choose the will of the Father. That's His desire for our life. I want to wrap things up this morning with one last verse. John 14:15. It's actually one of the verses, if you go online and you look under our core values, if you look under the core value of obedience, you will see this scripture online. This is one of our scriptures that we use to back our core value of obedience. This is what the scripture says. John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." We've heard that before. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. The problem is, a lot of times, we see God's commands as these rules and these regulations that keep us from enjoying life, right? Come on, God, what's all these rules and regulations? They keep us from enjoying this world out here. But the thing we have to realize is that God, He doesn't give us these commands because He wants to be a killjoy. He doesn't give us these commands because He doesn't want us to enjoy the things of this world. He gives us these commands to protect us and to keep us safe because He knows what these things will do to us if we do the things of this world. We've seen it time and time throughout the scriptures, right? When people disobey God's commands, it does not lead to good things. He gives us these commands to protect us and to keep us safe because He knows the consequences that we'll face when we don't follow His commands, when we don't walk and obedience. Interesting thing, it's amazing to me how being a father has helped me realize the importance of obeying commands. Stacy and I are continually reminding Toby and Emma that they need to listen and obey. Mom and Daddy have rules that you need to listen. When they tell you something, you need to listen. And it's not just enough to listen, right? Because a lot of us, we know the commands. Oh yeah, I know the commands. I know the commands, right? But it's not just to hear them. It's not just to know them. It's to obey them. They have to listen and obey. And for the most part, my kids do a pretty good job. They're normal kids, right? You know, they're definitely better than me, okay? They listen and obey way better than I did, I can tell you that. And they're pretty good kids, but like all of us, there are some times where they fall a little short. And the problem is they don't realize the consequences of their action. They don't realize sometimes why Mommy and Daddy told them they can't do something. Let me give you a great example. Toby was five. Yeah, sorry, I had to process his age. Toby was 5 years old, so 6 years ago. We're in Newburgh. And we had a house in Newburgh. It was a two-story house. And for whatever reason, in Toby's room, the windows, even though it was a second story, were really low. Okay? They were only like about a foot and a half off the ground. And so we had told Toby, we've said to him a couple different times, this window does not get open. You do not open this window. And so we had ingrained it in his head. And he knew it, right? Well, he's 5 years old, and we got the new Toby Mac Live and Transported CD, okay? And so we were excited about this. It was a live concert that we had gone to, and it was awesome. And so Toby had said, we were cleaning, getting ready for something, for an event that night. And he said, Dad, can I go take it up into my CD player and listen to it? I was like, sure, buddy. So he takes it up to a CD player, and he's got it blasted, and he's just rocking out to Toby Mac in his bedroom. And he's up there rocking out, and he notices the backyard neighbor, who is a little girl from our church, a year or two older than Toby, and the backyard neighbor mom, who goes to our church, is out there. And, you know, a little five-year-old thinks, they got to hear the new Toby Mac music. And so what does he do? He opens up the window. And then he proceeds to sit on the ledge of the window and start rocking out, leaning, acting like he's cool for the neighbors. Well, little did we know, the screen busted out. Toby did a backflip and landed outside. We didn't know this. I'm downstairs cleaning, and Toby walks in the back door, and his face is all bloody. And I'm like, Toby, what's going on? And he's just in shock. I mean, he's just like dazed. I'm like, Toby, what's going on? And I swoop him up. I'm like, are you okay, buddy? And I'm thinking, I had just told him the day before not to do this thing on the swing because I actually said you could slip out and hit your mouth on this rail. And so I'm thinking, oh, he must have done that. And so I pick him up, and he's sitting on the counter, and I'm looking at his teeth that are kind of smashed a little bit and kind of checking him out and trying to find out what happened. And he's just in shock and dazed. Well, Stacy went upstairs to get some stuff to clean him up, and as she went upstairs, she heard his music just blaring in his room, and she's like, what in the world? So she goes in his room to turn it off, and she looks, and she sees an open window with a missing screen, and all of a sudden, she just starts screaming, Darren, Darren, he fell out the window, he fell out the window, and all of a sudden, I just pick him up, and I'm like feeling his head, and I'm just worried, what's going on? And thankfully for Toby, it's amazing, I know God's hand was upon my little boy. Because he actually did a backflip. You can tell the way I had to go out and look and see. He literally did a full backflip, landed to where he hit his foot and fell backwards. And he had a small little fracture in his right foot. And I couldn't figure out the mouth thing. Well, in shock, he got up, and as he came into the house, he fell at the steps coming into the house. So that had nothing to do with the original fall. So really, the original fall, he had a small little fracture, which later we went back and the fracture was gone. So we believe God healed it. But he fell out this window. And you know, unfortunately, Toby had to learn the hard way of why he needs to listen and obey what his parents say. Because it wasn't because we didn't want him to not be able to, you know, have fun and let the neighbor girl hear his music. It was because we knew the dangers of what happens if that door opens. Oftentimes, we aren't different than my son. We choose not to obey God's commands and end up finding out the hard way, right? That his commands are there to protect us, to keep us safe. Let me read one last little illustration. There's a true story of a high school boy who wanted to go swimming with his friends on a late summer night. They didn't have a pool, but the neighbors down the block had a pool, and he knew it. So they ran down and scaled the fence, despite the fact that there were no trespassing and do not enter signs clearly posted on the fence and on the gate. He went running in, and just as he hit the diving board and up into the air, his girlfriend yelled, "Stop!" But it was too late. There was only a foot of water in the bottom of this pool, and he ended up breaking his neck. Why? Because he failed to obey the signs that were there to protect him. A lot of times we fail to obey the signs, the commands of God. God knows the importance of obedience because it protects us and keeps us safe. It's not because God wants to ruin our lives, keep us from having the fun that the world's having. Let me tell you, I've had the fun that the world's having, and it's not that fun. It may start off that way, but it takes you down a path that leads to destruction. God wants us to stay away from those things to protect us and to keep us safe. As I shared at the beginning, obedience is a powerful, powerful thing. And it's important that we value this thing called obedience. Because like anything, if it isn't something we value, then we're not going to do it, right? If we don't value obedience, we're not going to walk in obedience. And it's important that we learn to value it. Jesus knew its value, and he showed us perfect obedience. He set the example for us. The same Holy Spirit that is in him, that helped him to overcome the things of this world, is the same Holy Spirit that's in us to help us walk in obedience. And my prayer for each of us this morning is that we will understand to value obedience and that we'll make it a part of our lives. I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here if I weren't willing to walk in obedience. And I'm not saying anything great about myself. There's many times where I've been disobedient. But I've learned the importance of obedience. I didn't want to plant a church. I didn't want to be a senior pastor. But when we walk in obedience, it's a powerful thing. And the cool thing is, even if it's things that you don't want to do or don't think you want to do, if you're faithful to walk in obedience, then God always does something supernatural to come alongside it. I never thought I could have fun being a senior pastor. And I love it. I love being a senior pastor. I love what I do. I don't like, you know, some of the financial things I have to deal with as a pastor, but I just love this. I love being with people. I love pastoring people and seeing people grow and be discipled and do and be the things that God's called them to be. And one of those things is that we're people that walk in obedience. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Because as I said, Lord, there are so many things in this world that are drawing for our attention. There's so many ideas and thoughts of how we should live, what we should do, fears and doubts and all sorts of things that swirl all around us. But your word, Lord, brings us truth, Lord. Your word helps us to see clarity, Lord. And Lord, in your word, you show us a perfect example of how you desire for us to live. And one of those ways is that we learn to walk in obedience, that we learn to listen to the commands of the Father. That as we learn his love for us, that we would love him and obey his commands, Lord. Teach us, show us how to do that. Help us to see your love, Lord. Help us to realize this isn't just a great story. This is real. This is truth, what you've done. Your obedience, Lord, gives us the opportunity to experience life, Lord, in and through you. Eternal life, Lord, with you and with the Father, Lord. And we thank you for that. That's the reward of obedience. When we learn to walk in obedience, we experience the rewards and blessings of you. And we thank you and we praise you for that, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as we go out of this place today, that you would help us to listen to your voice, to listen to the commands, to listen to the things that you speak to us. And as we hear them, we wouldn't just hear them or know them, but we would actually obey them and walk them out, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these things. We just pray your blessing upon our heart, Lord. Allow these words to speak to us and challenge each of us where we're at right now, Lord. Show us maybe those areas where we haven't walked in obedience. Show us those areas where we need to turn things around, to step out of disobedience and begin to live out a life of obedience for you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for these things and we lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.